This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, everyone. It's Paul Bertarelli reporting from the Electric Aircraft Symposium in Santa Rosa, California. I'm with Brian Seely, who's the, I guess, the original organizer of this, or certainly one of them. Brian, this event grew out of the CAFE Foundation, which you go way back with. Tell me about a little bit about CAFE Foundation and how it grew into a sponsorship or an organizer of the Electric Aircraft Symposium.
Well, the CAFE Foundation started way back in 1981 when we had been observing Nick Jones's flight competitions, the Lowers Baker Falk race at Oshkosh. We thought we could have a fuel efficiency contest, which we called the CAFE 400, and that we could advance the efficiency of airplanes by letting them come and compete, the cream of the cream coming here to Santa Rosa. And we did that for 10 years. It was an annual event, about 50 aircraft. And all the greats, Rutan, Tom Hamilton, and all the key people in the EAA movement came. And then Tom Poberesny recognized us and said, you know, you're doing good work. I'd like you to be our miniature NASA flight test agency for home-built aircraft. Would you please do that for the sake of the EAA movement? We agreed. EAA funded a very nice flight test center for us here in Santa Rosa. And for 12 years, we tested the leading home-built airplanes in great detail, published reports on them. That led to us becoming then recognized by NASA as a potential affiliated organization, and we then were chosen to run the NASA Centennial Challenges for Aviation, which eventuated in the 2011 Green Flight Challenge, sponsored by Google, which was really a big breakthrough for electric-powered airplanes, proving that they could do cross-country flight. In 2007, thanks to the help of the great late Dr. Paul McCready, CAFE held the first-ever electric aircraft symposium. We had no idea that the 15 people in that little room at the Westin Hotel San Francisco Airport would ever grow into this. And now, of course, it's a kind of tidal wave of interest, activity, diverse designs, multiple technological feast, basically, happening here. And we're really thrilled with the way it's developing.
Now, this year you have more than 160 participants, and how many presenters?
I can't be exact. I think we're a little over 170 people, and that breaks our all previous records. I think we have 28 presenters total, and they are from all over the world. They're from majors in aerospace as well as small, startup ultralight companies and so forth. It's quite a mix, and I'm particularly happy to see how much networking and just communication buzz is happening on the ballroom floor.
The amount of activity here to me is kind of staggering, and this isn't everything. I mean, not everyone is here. So from your perspective on this, this industry seems like it's starting to get a critical mass technically. How about the economic side of it?
Well, that's an excellent question. As you know, the general aviation world has seen a contraction since 2008, and we have great hopes that electric aviation will rejuvenate it in many ways, and not just in small UAV drones for the sundry purposes they have, but rather for actually transporting people. And that's one of the topics that I'll be talking about later today, the concept of public sky transit using electric airplanes. If the vehicles really are emission-free, then we don't have to apologize for them, and they can become a much more sustainable way to travel than building more and more lanes onto the freeway. So that theme, I think, is going to resonate with a lot of the people here.
What do you see as a practical timeline for that sort of development? We're now at the stage where electric training airplanes are just starting to appear. We're getting to the point where you can actually buy them. There's a lot of development that has to happen between now and then. And in your mind's eye, knowing what you know and with your knowledge and perspective, when does something like that become a reality or begin to become a reality?
Well, of course, it's difficult to say, but I think there's two answers to the question. One is the near-term optimum point of view, and that is if the United States, for example, decided that public sky transit had so many advantages that it had to become a priority of the transportation system, then like the Apollo Moon program, we could easily have it in operation within something like 7 years, I would guess. On the other hand, if we kick back and take an attitude and say, oh, this will never happen in my lifetime, oh, the market is so slow to evolve, oh, there's so much peril in smaller plane development, the venture capitalists just aren't going to do it, well, then, of course, you will have a self-fulfilling prophecy where you didn't seize the opportunity and it took 30 years. So we're of the former category. We believe that it could happen amazingly quickly, particularly if our great wish is met, and that is that we get to do another Green Flight Challenge Prize competition, which is a date-certain 2-year time horizon and tremendous progress in a very short time.
Do you foresee battery development as a barrier here, or are you assuming that it's going to come along?
It's an excellent question. Battery development was thought for so long to be the, you know, impenetrable hurdle. Well, happily, the progress is moving toward the 3X, the 4X, the 5X battery. Some even talk of a 10X battery beyond the 200 watt-hour per kilogram that we are familiar with from the 2011 Green Flight Challenge. But it turns out that once you look at it a little more closely, you realize that the mass market is for short trips, trips that are so short that they don't require any better battery than we already have. As long as you're willing, like a Black and Decker drill, to stuff in a new battery pack after each flight. And the technology for robotic battery swap now will enable that very quickly. And so the reality is we could implement this almost immediately, and then it's just, wonderful windfalls as the new batteries come along, the payloads go up, and the vehicle weight and so forth improve. So, it's here now.
So by 2020, several people are going to fly to this in electric airplanes, you figure?
I do figure. In fact, we've wanted now for some time to have our flight test center become a kind of static display open house of electric airplanes, and next year, it'll be a definite focus to try to make that happen.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Brian.
Thank you, Paul.
This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from the Electric Aircraft Symposium in Santa Rosa, California. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.